So most of us in this room are old enough to perhaps remember a book that was well known in the 1990s by Robert Fulham called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And in this book, he talks about how in his bathroom, next to his mirror, he has the picture of a woman who is not his wife. That's risky business. Every morning, as he stood shaving, he looked at the picture of this woman. The picture? It's of a small, humped-over woman wearing sandals, a blue Eastern robe, and headdress, a sari. She's surrounded by important-looking people in tuxedos, evening gowns, the regalia of royalty. It's a picture of Mother Teresa receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. Fulham said he keeps this picture there to remind him that more than a president of any nation, more than a chief executive officer of a major corporation, this woman has authority because she is a servant. This theme of servanthood is at the heart of Mark's gospel. Mark, in particular, has us remember that Jesus is the servant. In today's gospel, we read of the authorities in the Jerusalem temple who are challenging Jesus. They want to know, by what authority is he doing these things? And what are the things that he's doing? Well, he's actually challenging the temple authority. He's challenging how the temple is being run. For you see, its leaders, rather than being people who exhibited servant leadership, had become self-serving leaders. And this is always the challenge in the church. It is always easy for those who represent God to in some ways think that they become God, and in doing that, that people should serve them. But it's never to be that way. Those who are called to positions of leadership have to truly embody the servant leadership of Mother Teresa and of our Lord. And indeed, in that reading from Jude that we heard this morning, he challenges and calls us to a true understanding of what it means to be servant leaders. But he begins with a caution. In the last days, there will be scoffers indulging in their own ungodly lusts. It is these worldly people devoid of the Spirit who are causing divisions. Now, on first reading, we might think Jude's talking about those who are outside of the church. These are worldly people who are indulging in their own ungodly lusts, but the key is they're causing divisions. Where are they causing divisions? In the church. And so here Jude is saying that the apostles themselves warned that there would be people who would be assuming positions of leadership in the church who do not acknowledge the authority of Jesus, and they do not acknowledge the authority of the Holy Spirit. And so, says Jude, their lives are devoid of the Spirit. These are those who scoff at the Lord. They scoff at his teaching, and indeed parallel those who were in the Jerusalem temple who would not acknowledge the authority of Jesus. Well, contrast this self-serving kind of leader with those who, like Mother Teresa in her life, recognize the servant authority of Jesus. Again, Jude writes, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Here's the point. False teaching always destroys. It always tears apart. It always breaks down. True teaching always builds up. That's why Jude says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. But what does this require? It requires true humility. To be open to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and to recognize that the church, in the fullness of her magisterial teaching, has authority. And we are called to be people who are being built up in our most holy faith. And why is our faith holy? Because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the faith that has been imparted to us by God. And as we build ourselves up in this most holy faith, in the present, it keeps us in the love of God, but it also gives us hope to look to the future, where Jude says that we will experience in the face of Jesus his mercy. Now, right at the end of this reading, we have what's called a doxology, where Jude brings together being in the present, kept in God's love, and looking to the future, to the mercy of Jesus. And listen to how Jude puts it. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing. Isn't that beautiful? In the present, as we are being built up in our holy faith, God by his Spirit can keep us from falling. From falling into what? Well, back into worldliness. But not only that, he then says that the day will come when we will stand without blemish. Isn't that beautiful? Without sin, we will stand in the presence of our merciful Jesus. We will stand in his glory, and we will be rejoicing. Stunning. We have here one of the clearest expressions in the whole of the New Testament about the goal and the destiny of our lives. So those who are living this way in the present, being built up in our faith, being kept in the love of God, as we look forward to the mercy that will be fully revealed to us on that day, how do we live in the present? Well, we are to be a merciful people. And this is how Jude puts it. Have mercy on some who are wavering. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, and have mercy still on others with fear, hating even the tunic defiled by their bodies. Three groups of people that we are to have mercy upon. The first are those in the church who are struggling with their faith and are having trouble living a godly life. The second group are those who have strayed to the point that the flames of judgment's fire is licking at their souls. And then those stained with the garment of the flesh are probably those who are involved in immoral activities. Now, Jude is clear that there are inherent dangers being involved in showing mercy to such people. But regardless of that, we are Christians. We believe that Jesus, in the fullness of time, will show us his mercy. And so we are called to be a ministry of mercy. That's what the church is all about. We are to show the kind of care that is present to various people in their separation from God so that we can help to rescue them. And indeed, isn't this what characterized Mother Teresa? Blessed Mother Teresa. Her life was infused with mercy, and so she had ultimate authority. On this Saturday, when we especially pray for our mother's intercession, may we pray to Blessed Mary, who sang in her Magnificat, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Blessed Mary, our mother, pray for us so that we here at St. Peter's can be a community of merciful authority where we are growing day by day by day in being a community of mercy because we worship the God of mercy.